Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I'm your host, Brett Hill, and today we have a great message for you called In the Presence of Jesus. It's coming out of Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 13. So if you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run, get your Bible, come back and join us. Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 13. The message today is In the Presence of Jesus. I'm reading from the King James Version today, starting with verse number 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Church, I want to tell you today that people will look at you funny, and people will call you ignorant, and they'll call you unlearned. This story started over in chapter 3 of Acts, in the book of Acts, because Peter and John, not long after the day of Pentecost, they were walking and coming toward the temple. They were going to speak at the temple, but as they come through a gate called Beautiful, there was an impotent man, a man that had been paralyzed that was sitting there at that beautiful gate, and he reached up to them when they came through and possibly held a cup up asking for money and possibly wanting them to give alms to him is what they would say, because they couldn't do anything. They were paralyzed, so if he got food, he had to not only buy his food and beg for food, but he had to pay somebody to go get it. If he had clothes, he had to go pay somebody to help him go get clothes, he had to pay people to carry him to that gate and carry him back home. They couldn't do anything without paying somebody to do it, because he was crippled, he was impotent, he could not use his legs, and the Bible says he'd been that way from birth. And so he walked, as Peter and John comes walking through that gate, he's begging for money, and then the Bible says that Peter and John turned and locked eyes with him. Peter looked right into his eyes and got his attention and locked eyes with him, and the guy was begging for him, and Peter looked at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money. I'm sorry, brother, but I don't have anything that I can give you money-wise." And I can see the man as he kind of looks up, like gets this discouraged look, like, "Why are you wasting my time?" And maybe he just turned his head to somebody else and tried to get money. He's already written Peter off. And then Peter uses that ever so often word that I use quite often, the word "but." You know, it kind of cancels out what you first got through saying and starts in a new statement. And so as the guy was turning his head away, just as he was about to ignore Peter from that moment on, he hears Peter, where Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but," and the guy maybe stops and gets a ray of hope in his eyes and turns back to him and thinking, "Well, what's he got? What's he going to give me?" And Peter says, "But what I do have, I'll freely give you. You can have it." And he reaches out with his right hand, that hand of favor, and picks him up, and he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man stands on his own two feet for the first time in his life, and the Bible says he begins to go running and leaping. He goes toward the temple with them, and everybody around is noticing, hey, this guy that has been crippled, that's been paralyzed all of his life, I recognize that face. I see see this man. Look at all this commotion that he's stirring up. He's running all over the temple grounds, leaping for joy, thanking God for something. I know that's the guy that's been sitting at the gate all his life. Let's go see what's going on. And at this particular time, the Bible even tells us that there's over 5,000 men with their families standing out in that area as Peter and John begins to preach to them and begins to share the words of Jesus Christ with them. And the scripture goes on to say that many of those people had believed and received Jesus Christ. Now, that's why we enter into this situation here that we are in chapter 4, because Peter and John had been arrested. The high priest and all the other people were probably standing outside that crowd on the temple steps listening to what they were preaching. So they put them in jail. And so this scripture opens up and says it came to pass on the morrow. Why? Because the next day after they were put in jail, they spent a night in jail and they wake up and the rulers and elders of the scribes pull them in and start questioning them. And one of the very first things they ask them is a question they already know the answer, because they said, "In whose name and what power are you doing this?" They already know that they've been preaching in the name of Jesus Christ and that they contribute the power of Jesus Christ to this healing. But they want to find out now. You see, it's easy for a Christian, it's easy for a minister, an evangelist, or anybody else when they're inside the walls of a church, inside of a safe place, to mention the name of Jesus and to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. But when you have been arrested and you're in the presence of the people that can put you to death, see, these people, it was a rule, it was a law in their land that only one religion could be taught. The Sanhedrin court was in charge of that, and it was heresy to teach anything else besides what they taught. They had the Torah. They were followers of Moses' law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah. They were followers of that, and anybody that taught anything other than what they allowed were guilty of heresy, and they could very well be put to death. And so now, here, Peter and John are standing in the presence of the people that could imprison them for life, or the people that could put them to death for what they call heresy. And now it's a different story. But it's as you can see in this story, Peter and John are lit up with the power of the Holy Ghost. They're not really afraid of anything. But I want you to see what they call them, because when John says it's by the, or when Peter says it's by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man stands in front of you whole today, that they marveled at him. And that word marvel isn't saying, "Oh man, this is awesome." That word marvel right there means they grumbled and complained among themselves. And as you look at that scripture down there, at one of them last verses, it says in verse number 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that they really didn't have an education. They didn't understand. And see, they're not saying, you know, we know that Peter is a fisherman. He's a man of trade. He didn't really go to the local Bible school and get an education in theology and things like that. And, you know, all these fishermen that follow Jesus around, and then John and his brother James, the sons of Zebedee that Jesus called the sons of thunder. You know, Zebedee was a fisherman. He was a very professional fisherman too. They didn't go out and study reading and writing and arithmetic and all these things. No, they followed their father's trade, and they were all fishermen. And see, the only one that really might have had an education in the bunch was Matthew, the tax collector, that had all kinds of education, but he was just going around keeping records. But this is Peter and John standing here, a couple of fishermen. But these guys weren't talking about their education, of lack of education because they're fishermen. They weren't talking about their lack of education, of not being smart in areas and things like that. What their education that they're talking about, being unlearned and ignorant men, is because they're saying these guys just don't really understand that we're in charge. They don't really understand what the laws of the land are. See, the thing that goes on here in this country is, here's the way you're supposed to teach religion. This is the religion that is allowed here. This is the way that you're supposed to teach things. And we are the guys, the Pharisees, we're the ones in charge of teaching that stuff. You're not supposed to be doing the job that we are supposed to be doing, and you're certainly not supposed to be preaching in some somebody else's name other than what we allow. And see, one of the things, just like you and I, if you're listening to me today, the world calls you, the Christian people, unlearned and ignorant people. And they say that you're uneducated because the world tells you that, hey, you can sin any way you want to, whatever pleasure that you're looking forward into doing, it's okay, because that's the world we live in today. The culture that we've created out here into this world, it's okay to do these things. It's not cool to preach the Bible. It's not right to preach the Bible, because the Bible says we can't have adultery and we can't have fornication. That the Bible says that we can't have homosexuality. And so it's not cool to be preaching that you're uneducated, because we got new laws in this country that says it's okay to do those things, and you're just not up to speed with the way things are anymore. You're unlearned. That's what they were saying to them. You just don't have the education that you're supposed to have in modern day culture and modern day society. You need to understand the way things are going here today. And that's the way the world looks at the church, and the way that the world looks at the Bible and the teachings of the Bible. Don't you understand that we've written many new versions of it now that goes along with a new culture that we're trying to live out here in this world? We've got rid of this idea that God is only one God and that Jesus Christ is His Son. There's many ways to get to heaven. You can't be teaching that there's only one way. That's just not cool. You're uneducated now. We've passed a law that Jesus is not the only way. And see, that's what they're saying here. And so the world does this because the world likes their sin. They like to put other gods before Jesus. They like to commit fornication and commit adultery. And they like homosexuality. They like to be able to steal and take things that's not theirs. They like to break all the laws, and they like to break all the Ten Commandments. They don't want to be held accountable by things that's written in the Bible and follow the word of the Lord and keep His commandments. So the people that do those things, the people that live by the Word of God, and the people that follow what Jesus wants them to do, according to the way that the world looks at us, we're unlearned and we're ignorant men. We're uneducated. But see, Peter and John, they even over in one of these other scriptures, just a few verses down, they even looked at these men and told these men, they said, hey, look, whether it be wrong in God's eyes or wrong in your eyes, whether it be right for us to follow God and do what we've been preaching, or whether it's wrong, that's for you to determine. But as far as talking about Jesus Christ, we can't help but to talk about the things that we have seen and heard our own self. We walked with Him. We've talked with Him. We've spent 3.5 years with Him. We've seen the miracles that He's done. We know that He's the Messiah. We know that He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about Him. We're going to talk to other people about Him. We're going to share the good news that He has given, despite what you think. So it's up to you what you want to do, but that's not going to shut us up. Now see, that's what these guys are looking at here, and you could see, as it said there, that they marveled at them. And see, they marveled, that's moaning and complaining, talked among themselves. They may have called like a timeout in a football game and walked over in the corner and huddled up and said, hey boys, you know, I just understand something going on here. These guys, you hear the way that they're talking to us? Do you hear the way that they're putting on this? That you see the disrespect they have for us? They're not paying any attention. We've put them in jail. We've threatened them. We've told everything that we can possibly tell them. And you know, they're just still, they're so bold, they're so outright courageous to talk about this man Jesus, and we know that we put that man Jesus on the cross and killed Him. These guys think that He's alive again somewhere, but listen, their lives are on the line and they're still talking about Him like He's still alive and well and doing just fine. And one of the things that they done there when they come out of that huddle, I can picture some of them, maybe even the high priest, as he walks up to give his ultimate ultimatum that he's going to pour out on them, trying to threaten them again. He may have had a thought come through his head, and maybe some of them talked in their little huddle and said, you know what, we've been talked to like this before. Who was this man? There was somebody in the past that talked to us like this. There was somebody in the past that was bold to stand up to us. I remember somebody even calling us a brood of vipers at one time. Somebody just so courageous and rebellious against the way that we wanted him to act. You know, I just understand here. I recognize this. This is a familiar attitude, a familiar courage, a familiar rebellion. These guys right here are acting like this guy in the past. Oh, I get it. See, what they're trying to tell you is, if you look down in that last verse, verse number 13, when they saw how bold Peter was, and you know up there in verse number 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't acting under his own power. He was acting under the authority of the Holy Ghost and under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But it says when they saw his boldness, they saw that he was unlearned in the way that they wanted him to do things. He wasn't really unlearned. He was just totally rebellious to the world's ways and totally running in the direction that God wanted him to function in and operate. And they took knowledge of him. Why? Because they said, I know why this guy's acting this way. I recognize his attitude. I recognize his boldness. This is none other than the same personality, the same nature, the same boldness and power and authoritative speaking that Jesus Christ has had. So these guys have been in the presence of Jesus. That's why they talk to us like this. And listen, church, you need to understand that people out there in the world need to recognize that you've been in the presence of Jesus Christ. They need to be able to tell. They need to be able to determine that you are different, that you stand out above the world, that you don't do things the way the rest of the world does. They need to be able to make a difference and say, I can tell that person's different. I can see their spirit. I can see their boldness. I can see the life that they live. They must be in the presence of Jesus Christ because their lives are so much different than ours are. People need to see that, and I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter what you're going through today. It doesn't matter the problems that you're facing. It don't matter if you're on drugs, if you're rolling something up, or if you're smoking something, if you're snorting something. Whatever your addiction is, whatever your pain is, you may be in financial trouble today. You may be going through sorrows of the loss of a loved one. But I want to tell you today, the difference is getting on your knees. You can, your way out of that, the way that the devil talks to you in your mind and confuses you and sows seed in your mind that causes destruction and other things in your life. If you'll just get on your knees and get in the presence of Jesus Christ, you can wipe that stuff out. God will come into you. He will change the way you think. He'll change the way you act. He'll change the way you talk if you will just get in the presence of Jesus Christ today and let Him be the deciding factor. You can have the power to stand up against the way the world wants to lead you in the wrong direction. You can have the power to stand up against the evils that the enemy tries to plant in your mind and the old man of who you used to be. Nobody can change who they are on their own. If you could change the drug addictions, if you could change the alcoholism, if you could change all the things that you don't like about yourself, if you could do that by yourself, you wouldn't have any problem. You would have already changed it. But Jesus Christ is your answer. When you get in the presence of Jesus Christ, He makes the difference. He's the one that brings the change that nobody else can bring. And I want to tell you today, if you want a change in your life, if you want to see a difference in your life, if you want your friends and family to tell that you're a different person, you need to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. You need to get into His throne room. Kneel down on your knees today. Ask Him into your life. Invite Him into your situation. Invite Him into your troubles. Invite Him into the sorrows. Invite Him into your broken heart. And He will fix the things that nobody else can fix, because being in the presence of Jesus Christ is where everything matters. That's what changes things. He's the ultimate factor that gives you a different life. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. And if you'll turn to me, I promise you I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I promise you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can put your faith and your hope and your trust in me, and I will not let you down. Your friends may let you down. Your parents may let you down. Family may let you down. But Jesus Christ will never let you down. He's always there to lead and guide you through the valley. valleys and through the troubles and the sorrows. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today, if you've never been in His presence, I want to invite you to come into His presence today. I want to invite you into the kingdom of God and let you understand how good life can be for you. Yes, there may still be some troubles out there. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that all your problems will go away the moment that you invite Jesus into your life, but I am going to tell you that there'll be somebody that's faithful to walk through those troubles with you. I am going to tell you that He will stick right there and He will be a light into your path and He will give you some peace in your troubles. When you start going through some things, you can turn to Him, you can read His words, you can pray to Him, and He'll give you peace when nothing else will. You can invite Jesus Christ into your life and change will immediately begin to start coming into your life, and you'll see things differently. You'll learn to live things differently. You'll learn to have a different perspective of the way this world's supposed to live, and you will be put in the same category as being unlearned and ignorant according to the world, because you'll come out of the world and not be part of it anymore. You'll be part of God's kingdom, and when He steps out on that cloud to call His people home, you'll be in line to go on up there with Him and live eternally in the presence of Jesus Christ and not have to face the world and what the enemy has to offer any longer. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is your only choice, and I want to invite you to receive Him today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You today, God, that You have put Your word out here, Lord, that You are truth in Your life, and You're the only way to the Father. God, I know many people's been taught the wrong things. I know many people's confused in this world that we live in today, God, but I pray that those that are listening to me today, Lord, that You would speak to their hearts, Lord, that Your Holy Ghost conviction would move upon their lives. Show them, Lord, let light illuminate their thoughts, Lord, and change the way they're thinking. Lord, draw them into You. God, I pray that they ask You to come into their hearts, Lord Jesus. God, that they invite You in to be Lord and Savior. God, so that they can begin seeing change and so that they can begin seeing help in their time of need, Lord, so that they can begin receiving Your comfort and begin to receive Your peace when they go through times of trials and sorrow. Lord, I just pray that Your favor moves upon the listener. God, that they would begin to fall on their knees and invite themselves into the presence of You, Lord. God, so that they can invite You into their lives and walk with You and talk with You and learn to build a relationship with You and become one of Yours today. Father, I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank You for the power in Your word. I thank You for the power that You have to penetrate the darkness and flood it with light into people's lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I give You glory for all that You're doing and everything that You're going to do. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. If you've prayed today and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, you've got a new life. The Bible says you've been made a new creature in Christ. All your old things have passed away. All that old sin life that you used to live, it's over with. It's done with. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. And heaven is having a party right now because you've made that choice. And you can walk away with a clean slate and start life afresh with Jesus Christ at the center of it. Amen. Email us at holdingfasttofaith@outlook.com. Get with us on social media somewhere in one of our feeds and tell us that you've received Jesus Christ today so that we can celebrate it with you. And most importantly, if you don't have a church that you're going to, find yourself a good Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church to get in and some family members around. Get some friends and family that are like-minded believers to start growing in faith with them so that you can build your relationship with Jesus Christ and welcome into the family of God today, and you are now brothers and sisters with all the children of Christ around the world. Praise God for it. I want to just thank you for tuning in today. I pray that this has helped you so much. God bless you, and we'll see you on the next one.